God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Our next scripture will be in Ephesians 2, 18 through 22.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
We've got our flower. Thank you. Okay. Ah. Expressiveness. We express ourselves. I have a loud voice, and you can hear me distinctly from a block away. I've had people walk up and go, I heard you a block away, and I knew it was you. And my wife, she's expressive, especially with her hands. And the more excited she is, the more fast, furious, and higher her hands go. And so you know she is expressing herself. It means there's something important. And I'm waving my hand so you can see my, there's something really important that you need to hear. And I have a high school friend and a college friend. His name was Greg. And Greg was a long-distance runner, friend of mine. He was my locker mate in track and field. And Greg was a really great guy, really nice guy, well-mannered guy, but he had problems carrying on a conversation. So he majored in journalism at Texas Tech University while I was there, and he wrote two best-selling books. He was a contributing author to Dallas Times Herald and the Dallas Morning News. He currently lives in New Zealand and is head of the long-distance chancellery there. They have a government entity of long-distance running, and he heads that and writes. But he found himself that he could express himself very good on the printed paper. I have an aunt. Her name is Susie. She is my mother's sister. And you can ask her about things. Well, tell me about New Mexico. Tell me about your father, Elmer Clay Griffith. And she would get excited and start to try to tell you about my grandfather. But she really got where she couldn't do that, so she had to show you a picture that she had painted, and from her perspective, and she would tell you about my grandfather, Elmer Clay, and she would tell you about the landscapes in New Mexico. She went on to Texas Tech University herself and got her degree in art and went to work for Hemphill Wells. And she lives in New Mexico, as I did, for some 6 or 7 years, and she currently resides there. But people have a need to express themselves, that they want to say something, and they want to be heard. We are like God. We want to say something. God is like us. He wants to say something to us. And it's important to understand and hear what He is trying to tell us. Just listen to the mountains. I lived in New Mexico, as I said, and I lived there for some 6 or 7 years. And I love the mountains. It is my most favorite place to go. And when I pastored there, I would go to the mountains and write my sermons. And that's where I would spend my time. And there, I would hear the ponderosa pines swaying in the wind. You could hear the mountain wind and see the ponderosa pines and smell. You could smell the pine cones. And you could hear the water trickling from the snow melting. And when the snow would melt, it would go down into the valleys, into the lower regions, and there would be wild flowers. The spring in the mountains is not in April and May. It is in June, July, and August, where when the mountains fall and the rain and the waters come down, and you get flowers like this and wild irises and daffodils, and you get all these beautiful flowers, and they blossom on the mountains and into the valleys. And it's very awesome. And this is a Georgia O'Keeffe painting, which we have up here. She's a famous painter from New Mexico who painted the creation and the flowers and the beauty of New Mexico, which I love so much. And that's one place where I learned to listen to God. Talk to me. And, you know, creation and what God says through what He does, it says so much about the expression of God. And the thing that I get out of that is that God is a very deep soul. And it's hard for us to think of that a lot of times as far as being a person, because we look at God as omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, and those are all good divine attributes of God. I look at God, though, as being a very deep soul and a very, very deep feeling, creative and expressive soul. It's how I view God. It's how God has attested to me through His creation. And could we have our first verse up there, please? And in our scripture today, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. You could say it this way. You could say, well, here recently, God has been speaking to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. And by the way, all these things that you see in creation, He made them. And so, if you want to know who God is, we look to Jesus. The word spoken here is lelio, and it means to talk. It means to utter words. It means to say, speak, tell. It means that there's something worth listening to. And it says God loved us, that God cherishes us. He wanted to express His Son. He valued us. He cherishes us. For God so loved, dearly prized the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes, clings to, trusts in, relies on Him, should not perish, be sent into hell, but have everlasting life, be with God eternally, both now and forevermore. And He spoke by sending someone like us, but without sin, that we could become the righteousness of God. And God spoke, and there was creation. From out of nothing, God made something. From a man and a woman, He made, spoke your name and made you. God expresses Himself. And He has in these last days. He's talking to us by His Son. And he wants us to listen to him. He said, let there be light, and there was light. The well-known scripture, if we could have their next one, John 1:1. The well-known scripture we know is, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God, in his different ways of speaking, actually wrote it down, and it sounded like this. It said, I'm sorry, I think I'm out of line here. It sounded like this, actually. NRK, en ho logos kai ho logos en pros ton theon kai theos. In the Greek, that's how it sounded years ago to the Christian. And God, in his different ways of expressing language, I love language because it shows me the richness of God. And especially I like Greek because it gives like three or four words for every one word we have. And so it's expressive. It amplifies, it exposes. And the word here for the word is logos. And logos means something said, a discourse, preaching, speech, talk, tidings, treatise, word, utterance. It's also where we get the word study, like biology, the study of organisms, psychology, the study of psyche, Christology, the study of Christ. And it literally means, when it talks about Jesus being the Word, it literally means Jesus is the study of God. I'm going to say that again. Jesus is the study of God. The word logos, when you refer to him, is literally what it says. And so if you want to know God, you've got to go through the Son to understand him. You look at Jesus, you know God. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And so we understand and know God through his Son. And if we could have the next verse up, Ephesians. And one of the things that God, in his expressing to us, he wants us to know that he wants us to be part of his plan, part of his family, part of his kingdom, togetherness. It says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of God, the household of God. Ephesians 2:19. The Greek word here for household is oikites, and it you might have seen there's a Greek yogurt called oikos, and it means household. It means to occupy, and more importantly, and for me, it means to reside at. It means that's where I reside. Amen. I mean, I may be here, I may be there. I may be over in dialysis. I may be having worked in mental health with a mental health patient. And guess what? I'm residing at my home. I have a home because wherever God is, that's where my home is. And God's everywhere. And God goes everywhere with me and everywhere with you. So I always have a home with God. God wants us to know God expresses to us his Lelio Logos, that is to give us a place to belong to. A lot of us have broken homes. Maybe you live with mom. You maybe live with dad. You may split time between parents. You might live with grandmother. You might live with grandfather. You might live with aunt or uncle, brother or sister. You might have been brought up in foster care. I don't know. Maybe you've lost somebody this last year. Maybe you lost your loved one long ago. Maybe you were loved and then you were cast aside. And there are all these things in this human condition that God knew long beforehand, and that's why he sent Jesus to express, because in these last days he's talking to us through his Son, saying, I want you to be part of my home. I want to give you a home. Maybe you're a widow. Maybe you're a widower. This is a real dire part of the human condition. And a lot of people cry some tears and feel lonely and ostracized and put out. But you're not a stranger. You're not a foreigner. You're a fellow citizen with the saints. And you're of the household of God. God always has you that. Has that for you. And if you've ever felt that way, you know, I come from, my dad was orphaned. My aunt was orphaned. My grandmother took her own life when my dad was 4. My grandfather was murdered a few years later. And so my family, so I grew up with a real penchant for kids who didn't have parents. And I wanted to be that kind of guy. I wanted to be like him because I wanted to give a place for people who didn't have a place. And it's something that God expressed to me a long time ago. But his home, he gives a place for you through his Son, because God is one, and because he's eternal. A couple of things about that. You can't, if you're, God's never going to go through a divorce.
Amen.
Okay? So you don't have to worry about which parent you're going to live with. You can always go with God.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about God dying. He's not going to die on you. He's always is. He's always going to be. So you can always count on that with him. So divorce and death can never happen to you. He'll always have a place for you with his other children at his table. You won't be pushed aside or shoved out. You'll always be wanted. You're wanted by God. And he did that, expressed that through Jesus Christ on the cross, and through his resurrection, and through his ascension, and through his provision, and through his love for you. Now, one thing I do want to say, and this is the counselor, the psychologist in me coming out, about if you grew up in a home and it split, you saw things and witnessed things that were very destructive, and total opposition to the family principles that God lays down in His Word and how we're to be. The problem is this. Here's what happens to your brain. Is that when you witness things and you're going through problems, your brain goes back automatically. Well, what did we do? Well, your mind's going to go back to what you saw, even if it was dysfunctional, even if you said it hurt, even if you said it was wrong or bad. Your mind is going to go back there and can choose to act on what you saw. So you have to be reconditioned and reparented by God your Father on the kingdom of principles of what to do. Stop and know yourself. Okay, I'm in a precarious situation here. Because we're going to have a whole generation of Christians that have come in from broken families. They're going to have to learn to reparent according to godly principles because they never saw them in their own families. And let me tell you something. Unless you can learn to be parented by God, you can't parent. It's not going to happen. You've got to have God, and you have to submit to His parentage, His tutelage, and His love, and bring that into your home, into your oikos. Our next verse, if you would, is from the book of Revelation 2:17. And it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it." God calls us, and God calls us very personally. And the Greek word for word name here is onoma, and it means a character, an identity. It means a person. And our scripture says that He gives us a new name, which no man knoweth saving him except he that receives it. And in other words, no person knows that name except to the one it is given to. And Jesus, when you read the Gospels and when He encountered people, He encountered the woman at the well, He encountered the woman with the issue of blood, He encountered the centurion, He encountered Zacchaeus, the small tax collector. There's something that happens between Him and the individual. Amen. There is a calling, a summoning. There is something that is said that isn't ever even said with words. That there is a drawing together of these two people, that's personal. That there's something that God provides for you and for me, for us, when He confronts us, that's only between you and Him. Just like that name, should you receive it. And that is what God expresses, and that's what God wants us to know. There's something that happens between us and Him, and Him and us, when He encounters us, when we encounter Him, in that still small voice. And that if we are still and we can hear it, it's those things that last. It's those things that matter. It's those moments. And I guess it was maybe a month ago, it was right before I got asked to preach, that I was sleeping and I had a pain in my ribs. I'd broke a couple of ribs playing basketball some years ago back when I was a youth pastor. And I woke up and a voice and I want you to know I'm careful when I say God says something, because I'm not one of these, I don't believe in being ever flagrant with that, ever. But that God woke me up and said, he quoted from Romans and the words of Paul saying that I wish I was cursed that my people might live. In other words, and my right rib hurt. I mean, it really hurt. And I was like, and I felt electricity in my body. And I was like, you know, wow. And I got up and I remember telling Jan, because I do not. And so I knew there was moments that are between us and God that listen for and encounter for. There's an old hymn, which they're going to come up and sing here, and I invite you to the altar to come and be a part of God's house. And if the ministry team would come down here in a few minutes, is I Come to the Garden. And it was written by Austin Miles. It was one of my grandmother's favorite hymns. And it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So God calls us. And I love to tell a story about a Savior who came from glory, about Jesus and his love. And so that's what God wants you to know today. And if you would, while they sing the song, so you're welcome to come up to the altar and pray. Get to know God's house. Maybe let him know about your pain and that you need to belong and feel loved, and feel like you belong to somebody.